You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, we've been studying the book of Isaiah, or I should say we've started to study the book of Isaiah in just chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1, but in today's lecture, we're going to look specifically at widows and orphans, that is, those who don't have husbands and those who don't have parents. So we'll take a look at verses 16 and 17 in Isaiah 1, in which we hear these words: "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause." So again, this is verses 16 and 17, and we're going to focus in on the fatherless, that is the orphans, and the widows, those who don't have husbands. So again, Isaiah will say this one more time in verse 23, in which Isaiah will write, "Your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them." And so again, in today's lecture, we're going to look at orphans and widows and how this understanding of vocation plays its way out. That those who have been washed and cleansed are to learn to do good and to seek justice. And of course, in particular, what we're talking about here is loving your neighbor in the vocation and calling that you've been given, and of course, in the circumstances and situations that God gives to you in your life. And so we're looking at the neighbor who doesn't have a parent, that you would take over, and that role is one who loves them, cherishes them, and takes care of them. And of course, the widow who doesn't have a husband, so that you would sustain them and keep them and help them. So let's go ahead and begin. Now again, Isaiah the evangelist says to wash and to make yourselves clean, to remove the evil, cease to do that evil, and learn to do good. Now, what kind of good are we to do? Well, we're to seek justice. And he specifically gives to us the example of seeking the justice for the fatherless and the widow. Because in the days of Isaiah, the people of God had failed. They had failed to love their neighbor. Of course, it's the Lord himself who loves us and cares for us. And as God loves us, we then are to care and love for others. And so when we talk about vocation, this is the calling, the place where God has placed us to love our neighbor. So when the Lord our God tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, he doesn't leave this in the ambiguous realm of some kind of a concept of love, but he puts love into the concrete. So that love is an action. It is love in which we give of ourselves to others in need. And so when you look back at the way that Moses had instructed the people, this was the teaching of the people of God way before Isaiah ever came on the scene. But as is the case time and time again, when the people of God stray from the word of God, the Lord sends a prophet like Isaiah to call them to repentance, to open their ears to hear and their eyes to see. So we look at a text like when Moses taught in Exodus chapter 22. Here's what Moses said. "Whoever sacrifices to any god other than Yahweh alone shall be devoted to destruction. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him. For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will slay you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless." So this is what the prophet Moses had taught the people back in Exodus chapter 22. But yet the people did not listen to God. They broke covenant. Remember, when Isaiah comes to the people of God, it's the people of God who are bringing all of these sacrifices. And they're saying, look at all of our good works that we do. Look at how we are so pleasing in your sight, O Yahweh. But the problem is that they are sacrificing in their own way that they have learned from their contemporaries. And God says he's not pleased with the concept of sacrifice. In fact, you have this whole understanding tied together that if you hear my voice, then hear my voice and listen. Listen to the sacrifices that I've instituted. That's what's pleasing to me. Listen to the way in which you are to interact with each other, especially how you care for the widow and the fatherless. And so that's why in Isaiah chapter 1, again, Isaiah will call out the leaders and say, you have blood on your hands, and you raise them up to God, and you say, hear us, O God, because of the great sacrifices we do for you. But yet, when the oppressors cry out to Yahweh with the blood on their hands, he will not listen. On the contrast, just as Moses said, when the oppressed cry out to Yahweh for help and for vengeance and deliverance, he will listen to them. He will hear the cry of the widows and the orphans, the ones that are being oppressed by the people who have been put into a vocation, a calling, a station, in order to be of service to neighbor. So that the leaders of Israel are to make sure that those who don't have husbands or parents are taken care of. And of course, when you don't take care of others and give them the food that they need, ultimately what you're doing is you are murdering them. And this is the whole idea of the commandment that you shall not murder. And it's not like a checklist where you say, well, I've never murdered anybody. The idea is that you are to help preserve the life of the neighbor. So you can't just go through a checklist and say, look how good I am because I've never murdered anybody. There's no blood on my hands. The question that you must ask yourself is, if you helped your neighbor who was in need to sustain the body, and let's say food, the widow and the orphan that have no way to sustain their body, were you of service to your neighbor, you're helping them to sustain their bodies, or were you giving them over to death? And so the Lord God teaches his people how they are to love as he has loved them, that they are to love him with all of their heart and with all of their mind and with all of their muchness, and then they are to love their neighbors themselves. So this is what Moses had taught. In particular, watch out for those people. Be on the lookout for the widows and the orphans who need our help. And so, like in Deuteronomy chapter 10, Moses had taught the people saying that Yahweh, your God, is God of gods. He is Lord of lords, the great and the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and for the widow, and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 10. And again, you see the contrast between the words of Moses here, teaching the people of God, and the situation in which the people of God have found themselves. So that Moses says that God does not take a bribe, but yet Isaiah is calling out to the leaders who are to represent God, to be the mask through which God brings to us his love and his care. They love bribes. But God himself is the one who loves and takes care of the widow, the sojourner, the fatherless, and he will execute justice. But during the days of Isaiah, the people of God, the leaders, are not bringing forth justice Instead, they are perverting justice, especially for the widow and the orphan. They are oppressing them rather than helping them. And so Moses had taught them back in Deuteronomy 27, saying this, "Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow." And of course, back in that day, all the people said, "Amen. Let it be so," back in Deuteronomy 27. But here you see in the day of Isaiah, when he sent to the people of God, they have broken covenant. They are now in the process of perverting justice. And so instead of taking care of the fatherless and the widow, they are actually oppressing them and making matters worse and not sustaining them in their body, not preserving their life, and ultimately being charged with murder, having blood upon their hands. Now, as we said before, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does. So we are learning to seek justice. We are learning to do good. We are learning to help the helpless. Now, the widow is the one who is in need. She has no husband. The orphan is the one who is in need. He has no father. He's the fatherless. See, the law of Moses taught the people of God to abstain from evil and sin, and instead learn to seek justice and to love the neighbor. It gave a picture of the shameful behavior of a fallen creation, but the new life and the new creation in which we are beginning to desire to love others as God has loved us. But as Moses gives us his law, it teaches us to abstain from evil and sin, which of course then brings the knowledge of sin, as Paul will say in Romans chapter 3. "For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." So this is what the Lord is doing as he instructed the people with Moses, but they refused to listen. And now he sends the prophet Isaiah to instruct the people, to speak God's word, to bring them to repentance, and of course, forgiveness of their sins. So that's why Isaiah cries out as the mouthpiece of God, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause." Now, in the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul teaches us about the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, that those who are baptized are to begin to learn to do good and to seek justice, he tells us, like, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, when he says that Christ gave up himself in order to sanctify his church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And then so he goes on to make this connection between the imagery of Christ and the church. Christ is as the groom and the church is as the bride. And so as he teaches us our identity in baptism, and then we see the husband and wife and the imagery in Christ and the church, then he goes on to teach who we are in Christ. That just as a husband should love his wife and care for her own body, in that vocation, he's there to serve. And so the husband is to be there for the wife, and the wife is to be there for the husband. The husband is to love the wife. And also, you go right from that into children, so that the children are to listen to their parents, and that the parents are to take care of their children. But now again, when you have the widows and the orphans, they don't have this benefit of a father to take care of them, or the widow doesn't have a husband to love her and to sustain her and take care of her body as he does his own. You see, in holy baptism, we have been washed, we have been cleansed, and so we are now learning to cease to do evil and learning to begin to do good. And so Paul will teach us about holy baptism in Romans chapter 6 when he says, well, should we continue in sin? Well, by no means. Why? Because you've been baptized. And so Paul will say, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And then he goes on in chapter 6 of his letter to the baptized in Rome, saying this, therefore, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So again, this is what Isaiah is saying. Cease to do evil and learn to do good. This seek justice and to help and to speak up for those who are oppressed. And so Paul will continue on saying in Romans chapter 10 that, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. And so we don't look to the Old Testament scriptures in which they show to us the shadow of the reality. We now have the reality. So we live in this newness of life, and now we live in the way of the Spirit. And so Paul will go on and say in Romans chapter 8 that God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so in Romans 8, he'll explain that those who walk in the Spirit are those who have faith in Christ, and those who walk according to the flesh are those who have no faith, the unrepentant unbeliever. And so again, the unrepentant unbeliever is ruled by sin, but the believer is now guided and led by the Spirit into this newness of life. And so later on in Romans chapter 12, Paul will say, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And so this is what Paul is teaching us, that as the baptized, we are learning to do good. We're learning to seek justice for others. We are learning to be of benefit in our body for others who need our service. So this is how we love God. We love the neighbor. This is how we serve God. We serve our neighbor. And so Paul will continue on in Romans chapter 12 by saying, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. And so again, we are to cease to do what is evil and learn to do what is good for the benefit of our neighbor. So we love one another with this brotherly affection. So it's not about me and what serves myself and how others can serve me and my own sinful desires. We put to death these desires of the flesh and we walk in newness of life in which we are now redeemed, and we then use our bodies as a living sacrifice to be of benefit to our neighbor. Just like Christ, who took upon humanity, assumed the flesh in order to die, yet giving himself as a sacrifice to be of service to us, to give to us the forgiveness of sins, to give to us life eternal. And so Paul will go on in Romans chapter 13, and he'll emphasize this love for one another that we are to have in our calling and our vocation. And he'll say such things as this: owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is what Paul is talking about to the baptized in Rome, and it's the same understanding that Isaiah is giving to the people in Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem are bragging about how they follow the commandments of God, and their zeal is so magnified in the extreme forms of worship that they have. They say, look at all of our sacrifice. They raise their hand, and all God sees is that they fail to love their neighbor. They oppress the widow and the orphan. And so in the New Testament, you'll have like the Apostle John, who will teach us the same thing as Isaiah, that we are to love one another. And he'll say in chapter 4 of his first letter, saying this: in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no one has seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And of course, John will also say, how can you say that you love God whom you can't see, but refuse to love your brother whom you can see? Now, we need to be clear that this is not just a new way of thinking that Moses and Isaiah said, hey, just try better, and here's a list of ways you can try better, that there's a strategy or a method so that you can be more loving. It's not just this concept of God says love your neighbor, go ahead and love. Instead, there is something far more profound. This is the whole idea of being washed and made clean and having your sin removed. It is the washing of regeneration in the renewal of the Holy Spirit, so that in Christ you become a new creation and you begin to have new desires. You begin to love as God has loved you, because God instills in you this love, and this love grows and it is made manifest for the benefit of your neighbor. So Jesus will use this kind of imagery, this ontological change that we have in Christ, where he says that he is the true vine and we are the branches. So Jesus says that the Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in him that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already, Jesus says, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus goes on in John 15 to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, though, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my commandments of the Father, and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Of course, this is Jesus teaching us in John chapter 15. So again, it's not just this ambiguous concept of loving neighbor. Love is not just an emotion. Love is the action. And it is God himself who shows us exactly what is love in the incarnation. For Christ himself is love incarnate. He comes and he lays his life down for us. And he takes it up again. And so that is love, Christ giving himself for our benefit. For Christ is the one who shows us what it means to love neighbor, to be that living sacrifice. And then those who are in Christ are a new creation. We are grafted into this true vine, and we have life in him. For his flesh is life-giving, and we become one with him as we are baptized, united into his death and into his resurrection. And so those who are in Christ are those who now bear fruit. For apart from Christ, you cannot bear fruit. But those who abide in him, who continue to be sustained in body and soul by his word, and of course by his supper where he gives to us his very body and blood to eat and drink for our life and salvation. Through this, Christ engrafts us to be new branches that are able to bear fruit. And so this is why Jesus will say, either the tree must become good in order to bear good fruit, or the evil tree will not be able to bear any fruit at all. So it's Christ who takes us as a wild branch and grafts us in so that now we can be. So the Apostle Paul will say in Romans chapter 12 that if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now we are to remember that the branches don't support the root, who is Christ. It's Christ who supports us. And we also are to recognize that there were branches who were broken off so that we might be grafted in. And those branches that were broken off were the people of Jerusalem who had the word but refused to listen to the word and who were ruled by unbelief. And it's because of their lack of faith that they were broken off. They were broken off as a result of their unbelief, but we stand fast through faith. So Paul warns us not to become proud, but to understand that we are in Christ as a gift, and he's the one who sustains us and continues to strengthen our faith as we abide in his word and he abides in us. And then the Holy Spirit is given to us to indwell us, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow from Christ so that we bear the fruits of the Spirit. And of course, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus will use the imagery of a vineyard. And he'll talk about this parable of this vineyard and how the servants were sent by the owner of the vineyard in order to collect the fruit. But yet the tenants took these servants and beat one, killed another, stoned another, and then he sent other servants who also were put to death. And finally, the owner of the vineyard sends his son and says, they'll respect my son. But of course, they say, come, he is the heir. Let us kill him and have his inheritance. And so you see that parable in Matthew 21. This is the same imagery that Isaiah will use in chapter 5, in which he says that I came looking for grapes, and instead it yielded rotten grapes. So in Isaiah chapter 1, he says, your princes are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and runs after gifts. They do not bring justice to the fatherless, and the widow's cause does not come to them. Yet in this situation, the word of God says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, redeemertheologicalacademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.